Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Thank you. Happy Thursday, everybody. Yeah, so let me take you behind the curtain here at the good old Schlereth and Evans morning show. So, you know, throughout the course of the show, sometimes before shows, after shows, there's stuff that we have to record. Commercials, you know, promos, things like that. Yeah, just, you know, radio stuff, right? So Mark has rightfully earned the reputation of making our millennial Ben work pretty hard when it comes to putting all these together. Mark does a lot of starts, stops, resets. Ah, let me do that over again. So much so that we have affectionately labeled him the Butcher. And it would appear the Butcher is hard at work in the other studio. Ah, here's the Butcher. We're on the air as he casually sits down, gets himself comfortable.
Hello.
Grabs his coffee.
How we doing?
Gets his headphones ready to go.
I know. I wasn't even taking care of my morning constitution.
You were in there for a while.
Well, you know.
As is your want.
Well, I'm a perfectionist.
You're a perfectionist.
As you know, I'm a...
Who labeled him the Butcher, by the way? Was that me or was that you, Benny?
Oh, no. I don't know. I have a long history of butchering things that I have to record.
Yes.
I'm much better on the fly.
Yes, you are. You're more of a spontaneity type
guy. Here's the thing. Well, you know, because you write all your own spots.
Correct.
So you go back and write them in your words.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of look at what the copy is and I kind of make it up as I go along. So, I don't like to read it. Reading is hard.
No. Reading is hard. I get that.
I don't write it all out, so I just sit there and I'll go through it and go, nah, I don't like the way that sounds. Or sometimes I'm reading a sentence that's written a certain way and I'm like, I don't speak that way. It's not how I talk.
Not how I talk. That's
so
not,
I just kind of,
it's not my voice.
Right. I kind of make it, I make it up on the fly, which is not the most efficient way to do it. So, I'm in there. Nah, I don't like that. Nah, I don't like that. I butchered that.
Poor millennial Ben has to piece this all together. He's like a surgeon.
But for the most part, I give you, there's never a clean one. I mean, I'm just going to be up front. It's never clean. But for the most part, I have one or two little flub ups in there that Benny has to clean up for me.
Thank you,
Benny. I love you, buddy.
The Butcher. Hard at work this morning. So the Broncos, doing their best to downplay the streak. Vic Fangio, a terse no when asked about whether or not he pays attention to it at all. Is this something that, how should Vic Fangio use this streak? Should he use it as a motivational tool? Should he bring it up to the team? Should he make a big deal of it? Or should he ignore it because it's the last thing he wants to plan in his players' heads?
You should definitely talk about it. Because, let's face it, he's been there now for 3 years. He's 0-4. Many of the players have been through that 0-4 streak. Now, what he says in front of the media and what he says to the team are two entirely different things, I'm sure. But, yeah, absolutely you should talk about it. Absolutely you should tell guys, you know, what's at stake. You have to.
How do you use it? So you say use it, fine, but yeah. How?
I think it's more about
you guys should be embarrassed or
no,
you
no,
guys
no,
should
no.
be mad
no, no, no,
as
no, no,
hell
no, no.
And
I think it's
you're sick of it.
I think it's more about, hey man, they've had our number. We understand that. But you guys, I think it's more about, like, if you could show hey, man, here's the mistakes we have made. Here's the things that we have made that are correctable mistakes that would have changed the course of this game. And the bottom line for us, one of the things that we have to do, guys, is we have to know that we're not going to play mistake-free. We got to play free. Because oftentimes when you're trying to play mistake-free, you know what you don't do? You don't play free. You play tight. You play, you know, you play apprehensive. And that's a recipe for just absolute slaughter. So it's one of those, here's where we're at. Let's deal with where we're at. You know, the first step in fixing a problem is admitting you've had one. And here are the things that we need to do.
All right, we'll get much more on that, more from Vic, more from Teddy as we move along throughout the course of the day. This is a big day for us here on the show, as it's our annual Season of Hope Day to raise funds for the New Life Program of the Denver Rescue Mission. This is something that is near and dear to both of our hearts, but you started it, and I've jumped in, and the whole station's jumped in, and it's been something we've been very proud and rewarding to be a part of. And we get a chance to talk to some of the men who are going through the program and what they're facing, the challenges that they're taking head on. Wanted to share with you the story of Tom.
Hey, Tom, welcome, man. It's so good to have you here. Tell us why you came to the New Life program.
I've been homeless for about 2.5 years. Been outside, sleeping in a park, and then in a dry wash. Terry, who works here and handles the intake, went ahead and got me in. I came here, and yesterday actually phased up to the part where you start working. So made it through the last 5 months.
How has the program impacted your life, Tom?
Oh, it's been really good. There's a lot of programs both here at the Mission and that are affiliated with the Mission, a program called Back on My Feet that you get to run with. And we just got done doing the Colfax Marathon last month. And people who thought they couldn't run at all were able to do 4 and 5 miles as part of a relay. Other guys were able to do half marathons and do a full marathon in May.
What will it mean to be able to celebrate Christmas at the Crossing this year and receive a present and a special holiday dinner?
It'll be nice to be around people for Christmas. A lot of us haven't had anybody for years. So to have a meal with a bunch of people who are going through some of the same stuff, been through some of the same stuff, and had the same desire to succeed is going to be important for all of us.
What did you ask for, Tom, for Christmas?
Some sunglasses, an exercise mat, and a beanie. So we'll see what happens with one of those three things.
Well, listen, man, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and appreciate you being part of the program and all the work you're doing to better yourself. It's an inspiration. So thank you, Tom.
So go to denverfan.com/seasonofhope, and whatever you can donate, any amount would be greatly, greatly appreciated as we help this program, which has helped so many people over the course of the years and continues. And we've had a chance to witness a lot of the success stories. It really is heartwarming.
It certainly is. And it's great. And like I said, the thing I love about it is all the guys take responsibility for where they are, how they've gotten there, and they're working hard. So, you know, it's not a lot. But whatever you can donate, we truly appreciate you.
DenverFan.com/seasonofhope. Up next, the best of Joel Klatt. That's coming up. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, every Thursday morning, we make sure we bring you the best of our chat with Joel Klatt every week. And in this edition, we asked Joel if he can relate at all to being on the side of dominance like Kansas City's had over the Broncos over these last 11 games and how you approach it.
Well, you don't get to play a team 11 times, but I only started against Colorado State 3 times and won all 3 of those. So, yeah, we pissed excellence against them.
Mm-hmm.
that was, I don't even know, that. I think I just levitated out of my body. That
you, went to Richard 10 right there.
That was like Richard 15. But listen, the facts are the facts. That was a 3-0.
Sure,
and, you know,
sure.
Whatever. Man, I can't tell you how frustrating as a Bronco fan it is to see that, because it was reverse. You know, when we grew up, if you're my age and you're a Bronco fan, you know that it was the Kansas City fans that couldn't get over. It was the Marty Schottenheimer team and, you know, all of those quarterbacks that they would try to recycle or bring in and try to get over the hump of like, oh, man, we got to beat the Broncos, because the Broncos owned the division for so many years. And now, you know, it's divisions go the way of the best quarterback within the division. And obviously Kansas City has that guy. Denver's got to find a way to match up with, you're not going to do anything as far as a Super Bowl until you can beat the Kansas City Chiefs in your own division. That's just the way that it is. Obviously last week was a terrific win for them. I thought that the game plan was fantastic. This is a roster that's ready to win. I mean, thankfully, Teddy got back on the field, because, man, it felt like Drew Lock was going to go out there and give that great performance of the defense away. You know, that bad interception that he threw led to points for the Chargers. And so from my seat, I think it all comes down to what they can do in terms of fixing that quarterback position, addressing the quarterback position so they can potentially – match up with and beat the Chiefs. But man, it's frustrating knowing what it used to be and seeing what it is now. It's just you understand what the Chiefs felt for all those years, knowing that they didn't have the quarterback to compete in the division. And that's certainly where we're sitting right now.
You probably remember, you might even be able to picture it, sitting where Mark's sitting right now, that right after Peyton chose the Broncos, the Kansas City newspaper put out a back page a headline picture, and they superimposed Peyton on, you know, I don't know whose it was, body, but all it said, all the headline screen was, oh no.
Yes.
Remember that?
I remember that vividly.
Yeah.
I remember we were in Phoenix when Peyton actually announced he was coming, sitting in that studio.
Yes! Yes!
And I remember that. There's no doubt I remember that headline. And I remember talking all day that day about, like, yeah, that's it. The Broncos are a Super Bowl contender. That means that they own the division, and right, the division knows it.
Back to college football real quick. The college football playoff rankings and everything that's in play this weekend. How much is that committee, through just gritted teeth, putting Cincinnati in at number 4, and how much are they desperately rooting for Houston to beat Cincinnati this week?
Well, I don't think it matters so much to the committee. I think that Cincinnati, they will be included begrudgingly, because I feel like there is an elitist mentality in college football, and I'm right there with them. You know, like, Cincinnati's schedule is not anywhere close to what a Power 5 schedule is. So if they would have played a schedule like, shoot, any one of these 10-2 teams, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, you know, they'd be 10-2. And so the fact that they're potentially going to be included if they win this game, I think it's actually a little unfair in college, where people always say, like, well, it's unfair if they're not included. Well, it's like, really? Really? When you play Tulsa? So, and it's not just like playing Tulsa once. It's like they basically have to get up and play a big game 3 times this year. Houston this week, they played Indiana on the road, and they beat Notre Dame on the road. And so you get them, give them credit for that. There's no doubt.
Should you have to
definitely an element of begrudging in terms of including them?
Should you have to play in a conference championship game in order to play in the college football playoff?
I think you should have to win your conference, not even just play in that conference championship game. As long as we're in a 4-team playoff, we should include only conference champions. I've always felt that way. I felt like that with the BCS. We should have never allowed Nebraska in 2001 to compete for a national championship after not even winning their division when they got beat by Colorado. It's happened with Alabama a couple of times. I don't understand this notion of trying to maximize the impact of the regular season and make conference championships important and then just include people that didn't win them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, there is Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. Each and every week, we love what Joel brings to us. Hey, make sure you check out what's going on the fan war room. Going on as we have the biggest Denver football game in nearly 6 years, so we put together a very special war room panel to break it all down. Three former players who've all played multiple games at Arrowhead, Stoke, Nate, and Tyler, will join James and Zach to look ahead at the game that appears to be the pivotal moment in franchise history. It's this Thursday, today, from Brothers Barbecue off I-25 in Arapahoe. Stop by to grab lunch and meet the guys as we look ahead to Sunday night's flexed prime time showdown. Morning Brew is coming up next, and a night to remember, a night to forget, to remember for different reasons, for the Nuggets and Avs. Details next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep hiking, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
You can't play one quarter of defense and expect to win. We got lucky in Miami. We played a half of defense and we won. Tonight, we defended in the first quarter. After that, we didn't defend anyone. And the biggest thing that stands out continues to be our inability to defend the paint.
Well, there's Michael Malone.
Michael Malone.
He's right, though. The Nuggets, they're not good enough on offense. They're not deep enough on offense. They're lacking and missing too much firepower to just think that they're going to go out and outscore people. They have to really buy into the idea of playing defense. And they did in the first quarter last night against Orlando, holding them to just 15 points. Built a 14-point lead after one, 16 at the half, but starting in that second half, second quarter, gave up 32, 32, and 29 on their way to a 108-103 loss.
Yeah, and I mean, Orlando is no great shakes.
It was their fifth win of the season.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, I mean, obviously, when people get hot, they'll knock down shots, but you've got to contest those shots. You got to be willing to put forth the effort to play defense, Mike. It really becomes an effort thing and a want to thing in the NBA. At least that's what I know about defense in the NBA. Do you want to, or do you not want to?
Well, and it's about the players buying in and understanding that at least for the time being, this is the way they're going to have to win.
Uh-huh.
And they have to embrace that. And last night was an example that they're not there yet. Next, Total Morning Brew.
It will be interesting to see if the team, plays the same kind of style with Nate, or will they want to take it, let him do more and somehow, things get a little disrupted again. I mean, of course you want McKinnon in the lineup, but it'll be interesting tonight to see how they look.
Well, that is our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater. They did not look good as they got hammered by Toronto 8-3. That is an example of what happens when you're a team like the Avalanche, you win the President's Trophy, you go through your regular season knowing you're going to get everybody's shot. There's going to be a bullseye on your back, and Toronto is really, really good. Now, they always spit the bit come playoff time. In many respects, they're like the pre-Mahomes Chiefs. They're, month are we in? They're like November and December darlings, okay?
Mm.
But they are formidable. They have talent. And boy, did they unload on the Avs last night.
I'm a little bit confused. Maybe you can help me on this.
Sure.
So I thought, and this is just from my experience, so I don't know. You're going to have to educate me on the way hockey goes. I thought the team that won the Stanley Cup, much like the team that wins the Super Bowl, is the one that gets the bullseye painted on their chest. Not the one that, by a technicality, has the best, most number of points or, gets a President's Trophy.
They don't get as big a bullseye.
Oh, it's like a little bullseye.
It's like a smaller bullseye. You know, it's like when you play darts. You know, you get the full
big dart board.
This is like a smaller dart board that you're playing on.
No, it would be that's transverse. I think you're math hard. You would have a bigger bullseye because it's easier to hit. The little tiny bull, like the when you get the 100, the little red circle in the middle, that's a little tiny thing. I don't know. Maybe it's semantics, Mike. Maybe it's just semantics. Hockey semantics.
Well, all that matters, they got their doors blown off last night. Also, Darcy Kuemper hurt. We'll get the severity and how long he'll be out.
I'm going to say it's a lower leg or lower body injury, maybe.
Or as they like to say now in the biz, it's an LBI.
LBI?
Lower body injury.
Oh, LBI.
Right.
I see. It's or like NIL.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Or a UBI.
A UBI, upper body injury.
You are catching on.
MBI, middle body injury.
My goodness, you catch on fast. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, we just prepare for it to be loud. You can never really prepare completely until you're there. So, you know, we'll have the stadium noise, crowd noise here in practice, but you know, there's nothing like actually being out there on Sunday.
Teddy Bridgewater getting ready to lead the Broncos offense against a Chiefs defense that in the last four games, all wins, have given up 17, 7, 14, and 9 points. Where is your level of surprise that this Kansas City defense has literally flipped the script seemingly overnight?
I don't have a ton of surprise about that.
You thought they were going to be a good defense going in?
I thought they would flip the script. They've done it every year. They've done it the last 3 years. They've been awful, and all of a sudden they've been good. This year, it just happened to coincide with the trade deadline. They went out and got themselves Melvin Ingram from Pittsburgh. He's allowed them to move Chris Jones back to where he should be to pay more 4-2 nickel and have Chris Jones play defensive tackle. Chris Jones is an absolute monster at defensive tackle. He doesn't have the speed to dip and turn a corner, so it becomes very one-dimensional playing outside. And it's completely changed their defense. Plus, they just played there. I think you were right in that. Did you get that, Benny? I think, Mike, you were right. When you talked about them just kind of easing through, nothing to see here, we'll be okay. Now all of a sudden they're 7-4. They're playing pretty good on both sides of the ball. And we're going to look up and they're going to be 13-4 at the end of the season.
But, yes, all right, let's give praise to what they're doing defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, they're still not the juggernaut that we've come to expect. If you go back over their last five games.
Right.
Okay, I'll give you the game at the Raiders. Okay, they were dominant. 41-14, I think Mahomes threw five TDs. But if you look at the other games around that, against the Titans, they scored 3. Against the Giants, they scored 20. Against the Packers, they scored 13. And most recently against the Cowboys, they scored 19.
Yeah.
So, just...
I think you also have to look at the number of, you know, fumbles they've given up, the number of interceptions that Mahomes is throwing, which is, every time you do that, that's one less possession, that's one less, you know, that's again, field position wise, all that stuff boils. It all boils down to that stuff. But I'm telling you, they're still a really talented offense, and they're going to find their stride just like their defense has found its stride, I think.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Charlie drives this ball to deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone into the bullpen. Fourth of the year for Chuck Nasty. Make it 2-0 Colorado.
Major League Baseball is in a lockout. Its first work stoppage in 26 years. Not a big deal right now. It's early December.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if this thing is still going when training camps are scheduled to open. But where is your level of concern that the start of next season is delayed?
My level of concern, let's just say, is at about, well, how you want to do percentages?
Yeah, where would you put the percentage that baseball starts on time? next year?
80%.
80% it starts on time?
Right now.
Okay.
So my level of
right
concern.
Now. It's how I felt at the time.
Yeah, it's how I feel right now. You know, I mean, they're going to, both sides will puff out their chests. Both sides realize how much money, like that baseball is a big cash cow. And both sides understand that. And they will, I'm sure that they will be able to find a compromise.
You know, in a week in which hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts were given out,
mm-hmm.
big market teams spent big. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has the gall to come out and say, quote, "This defensive lockout was necessary because the Players Association's vision for Major League Baseball would threaten the ability of most teams to be competitive. Simply not a viable option." Okay.
By the way, Max Scherzer is making, he signed a deal with the Mets, making $43 million a year. His base his salary for the year is nestled right up against some of the bottom market teams.
Oh, yeah.
for their entire
sure.
pay structure.
Yeah, he's probably making more than what the Pirates will spend.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next, we unveiled these yesterday. They were met with mixed reaction. A highlight of these 11 losses. Hey, man, if you're going to get better, if you're going to address the problem, you got to admit you have a problem in the first place, right? Latest one next, coming up, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. We've had mixed reactions to these vignettes that we've been playing, highlighting, lowlighting the 11 straight losses to the Chiefs. Now, some people are like, hey, good. It's good to know.
Right.
Need to face this head on. I need to get angry.
Yes.
Need to get mean. Others are like, no. It brings up too many painful memories. Why are you doing this? What, are you Chiefs fans? Well, I subscribe with the former strategy. But, hey, use these to get you mad, get you angry, get you roiled up, get you lathered up. You know what I mean?
Roiled?
Roiled.
Roiled.
Like something
you gotta get angry! You gotta get mean!
Something your stomach tends to do a lot during the course of this morning show. Gets roiled.
Roiled. Like, how do you, but not like royal, like.
Not like royal, like we.
The royals.
You know,
like Buckingham Palace
no.
royal. Like, how do you spell
stiff
royal?
Stiff upper lip royals, no.
Right.
No, roiled. R-O-I-L-E-D. Roiled.
Like boiling in your belly.
Right.
Right.
Boiling, roiling.
Yes.
Soiling.
Soiling, which will happen.
Hey, we've all been there. Having a
silent breed is people. Yeah.
We've all been there.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, here's, this is, what is this? Of the 11, this is loss number 5.
Ugh.
Loss number 5.
New Year's Eve, the final day of 2017. A meaningless game for the playoff-bound Chiefs and the Cancun-bound Broncos meant both teams would start young first-round quarterbacks. For Vance Joseph's Broncos, Paxton Lynch got the nod, while Andy Reid handed the keys of his offense to a rookie making his first start. A fresh-faced kid out of Texas Tech named Patrick Mahomes. Playing against backups, Lynch would toss 2 touchdowns in the best start of his Broncos career.
Lynch to the back of the end zone, touchdown, Demaryius Thomas.
But it wasn't enough to outduel Mahomes, who flashed signs of the dominance he'd soon unleash on the rest of the league.
Mahomes trying to get him closer, heading the wrong way, and still has the arm strength to hit DeMarcus Robinson.
Following the loss, Joseph's future as head coach wouldn't be decided that night, as John Elway chose to sleep on the decision and ultimately decided to retain his coach. For Broncos country, the end of 2017 brought little optimism their losing streak to the Chiefs would be ending anytime soon. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
That's right. The famous sleep on it.
So, you're telling me, based on that vignette, that we actually are responsible for the unleashing of Patrick Mahomes on the rest of the league?
We started it, yep. And it happened while Paxton Lynch was the quarterback. I blame him. I look at this smear campaign now in a whole new light.
Yeah.
Should it shock anybody that Patrick Mahomes' dominance started with Paxton Lynch on the other side of the field?
No. No. You think about it. We don't take Paxton Lynch. We don't move up to get Paxton Lynch. Where are we in 2017 when Patrick Mahomes is available? Maybe we get Patrick Mahomes. Huh. No, at that point, we were still thinking that, well, we weren't, but some were thinking that maybe Paxton Lynch would figure it out.
Coach, did Josh Allen... Oh, I'm sorry.
Paxton, you had one job. One job.
One job to do.
And instead, you...
You
unleashed Mahomes.
You unleashed the gates of hell.
Yeah.
It's your
fault.
Way
to go.
I don't feel bad about smearing you anymore. In fact, I've never felt better about it. I've got renewed enthusiasm for carrying on the smear campaign. What number are we at? 2173?
It doesn't look like it's ever going to end either, because we put parameters on ending it.
2373.
If he got himself back into the league through his great play in the Canadian Football League, which he has been demoted from the third string quarterback to the fourth string.
Correct. So that's not going to happen.
So it doesn't look like he's going to work his way right back into it.
Or until the Broncos find their clear-cut answer as the quarterback of the future.
Right.
Which, that doesn't look like that's happening anytime soon either. So, it marches on.
Yep.
With no end in sight.
No. We march on to 3,000.
On the text line, well, it turns out I Told You So Island isn't the only place Mark owns. You guys were the top podcast I've listened to all year. Thanks, guys. Oh, and Paxton Lynch still sucks. One more. Roiling, Mr. Evans, yet another great word. Your big leather-bound books pay off yet again. That's from Jeff. Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F.
I've never liked that.
You've never liked that? Why?
No. Geoff?
No, it's Jeff, but it's that I've always, you very rarely meet a Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F who is not very educated. Jeffs, Geoffs, tend to be very educated.
Well, they think
they're very educated.
Maybe that's
because they carry themselves like they're very educated.
Maybe that's because they got stuffed in lockers and all they had was books to read until somebody let them out. Because their name was Jeff. Geoff. Geoff. Geoff? Is there a Geoff in here? Yeah, I've never trusted anybody named Geoff.
Why was Patrick Mahomes struggling so much earlier in the season, and what has he done to turn things around? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.